Welcome to this podcast from the Innovation Agency at the Liverpool Severe Asthma Service, based at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. 1 in 10 people in the UK are affected by asthma, but while it's common, it can be a serious condition, and for some, debilitating. Coming up, we'll hear from those providing treatment that's making a difference.
So since 2016, there has been a massive change in all manner of treatments, including inhaled therapies, biologic therapies, and our numbers within our service have increased dramatically.
If we identify the severe asthma patients first and target them with the right treatments, is an absolute win for everyone involved.
And hear from one patient for whom life has changed significantly.
No sneeze and nothing. My voice hadn't been croaky with it. Not being out of breath, being able to sleep fine, can't even hear my chest at all.
In Liverpool, there are around 126,000 people registered with their GP as having asthma. Most can manage inflammation with inhalers, but around a fifth have what's known as difficult asthma, where despite treatment, there's little improvement. And for a small proportion who are classed as having severe asthma, symptoms can be even worse. 14 years ago, that's what happened to Marjorie from Aintree.
I went to the GP and then I was admitted to hospital. He thought it was an asthma at first. He dismissed it. And then later on, I was ill again and they said no, they did confirm then it was asthma. So I'd had various courses of antibiotics and steroids, some quite a few times a year, but I'd only seriously been admitted to hospital longer than a couple of days, three times. Just affected me work-wise because I should have had a lot of time off work, but I didn't. I sort of had to go in when I wasn't well. I have a Keep Fit class we go to every morning, so it affected me going there. Stopped me doing a lot of things, really. You couldn't really book anything because you were always had the fear of, what if I book it and I'm not well? Or it's little things like that that affected. You know, but you didn't know from one source of month to the next month what you were going to be like. Sometimes it was a lot easier than others, and sometimes I did push myself, which was wrong. When I wasn't fit enough to do it, I just pushed along with it because I got that way that it was norm to me to be like that. It was normal for me to cough every day. You don't really know what to do for the best, and sometimes I can't get to the GP. I just phone up and get me tablets and just hope that they'll sort it out, and I do get phrases where I'm fine and I can carry on as normal, and then I get phrases where I struggle, even to go to the shops or the hairdressers, or when you sort of want to wash your hair and they put your head back and you can't seem to breathe, catch your breath.
The good news for Marjorie and people like her is advances in medicine. Dr. Hassan Burhan is a Respiratory Department Research Lead for the Liverpool University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. A consultant for 13 years, he works at the forefront of asthma care.
The treatment for asthma relies on medication that you take to keep well, and that's really important. And a lot of people don't appreciate that they need to take medication every day with asthma. And it's a hard thing to get your head around. But really taking treatment to keep the inflammation down and preventing flare-ups is the bedrock of asthma management. But sometimes people get flare-ups of asthma, and that involves taking steroid tablets, which are good at reducing inflammation, but have a whole myriad of side effects. Weight gain, diabetes, osteoporosis, a whole range of side effects. And the more you take over time, the greater your risk of getting side effects of taking steroids. And people with severe asthma, I've been a consultant for about 13 years. When I started, there was one injection that people could have, and now there are five. So people with severe asthma need to take the inhalers, and they need to take other injections called biologics, if they're suitable, to reduce the number of courses of steroid tablets they have, because steroid tablets are necessary when someone's flaring up, but poison in the long term. Since 2017, four new injections have come along. I think there's an underappreciation that there are treatments that people with severe asthma can have. And I also think there's an underappreciation of what severe asthma is. So people that are having two or more courses of steroid tablets a year and on a lot of treatment for asthma and taking their treatment correctly, should be referred to a severe asthma service because they might be suitable for one of these injections. And the job of a severe asthma service is to make sure that we categorize what type of asthma someone has. It's called phenotyping. Make sure that we pin down which specific type of asthma they have so that we can prescribe them the right drug to attack what's driving their asthma. And if we get the right drug to the right patient, it can be transformational, as I think our patient demonstrates. So it can be transformational in terms of making people feel better day to day, and it can be transformational in terms of reducing the number of courses of steroids that they need and really limiting the long-term damage. So I think a good example is rheumatoid arthritis. So we used to see people with rheumatoid hands, deformed hands because of arthritis that had been active all their lives. Now with newer medications, we don't see people with that unless they're very old and they had the condition before the treatment was there. So hopefully we're entering the era where we will see people with asthma that get on the right treatment early and don't have all the side effects of taking all the steroids.
With support from the Innovation Agency, the severe asthma team are working to step up the job of identifying patients who could benefit from expertise in prescribing new treatments.
What we've been able to do, along with the Innovation Agency and Liverpool CCG, is successfully apply for funding from the NHS England Accelerated Access Collaborative Rapid Uptake Programme Network. And what we've been able to do with that funding is inreach into primary care to try and identify people that on paper might be suitable for biologics. We've also employed someone to backfill some of Hannah Joplin, our severe asthma services pharmacist's time, to inreach into secondary care. A lot of our patients come from other hospitals. And we've also got funding to allow Helen James, our asthma specialist nurse, to get more people that are on biologics onto remote spirometry and remote monitoring to create capacity in clinics. So in Liverpool, there are about 1,400 patients that are potentially on paper eligible for biologics. And 25 practices have run searches that have been designed by the CCG to identify those patients. And about 700 patients have been identified. And so far, kind of 6 months in to the actual getting the project off the ground, we've seen about 400 of those patients. And about 180, we've been able to suggest some changes and send them back to primary care. And about 70 are have either started or are about to start biologics treatment. So that's 70 people that we wouldn't have been able to identify, about 10%, in fact more than 10% because we haven't worked through all 700, but 70 people that have been out in primary care having courses of steroids, taking good asthma treatment that look like they're suitable for these injections that hopefully will be starting because of this work that we're doing.
Hannah Jopling is the severe asthma and lead respiratory pharmacist for the Liverpool Severe Asthma Service.
Yeah, I got involved with the severe asthma service as I knew it was such a big issue in Liverpool and the Mersey region. Also, the severe asthma service was developing here within the Trust. There were more severe asthma biologics becoming available, and therefore I joined the service in 2016. So since 2016, there has been a massive change in all manner of treatments, including inhaled therapies, biologic therapies, and our numbers within our service have increased dramatically. So when I first joined the service, there was one biologic treatment available. Now there are five. Within the severe asthma service, my role involves ensuring the administration of the severe asthma biologics, ensuring that they are prescribed appropriately and continued appropriately. I'm also involved in reviewing patients whilst they're on the biologic treatments. I'm part of the MDT process in approving these patients, and I'm also the adherence lead for the severe asthma service. It involves ensuring that all patients who are being considered for biologic therapies undergo an adherence assessment. That might involve looking at primary care prescription refills, phenosuppression testing, smart inhaler monitoring of patients, and also blood test monitoring of patients who are on steroid tablets every day. Adherence is extremely important when we are assessing patients for biologic therapy. Indeed, it's important for all patients who are on who are asthmatic. We know that many asthmatics are poorly adherent to their treatment, like, you know, many patients with long-term conditions. Within the severe asthma service in Liverpool, we check every patient's adherence when they're referred to us. And within our own data, we know that about 50% of patients who are referred to us are poorly adherent to their treatments. When we are considering patients for biologic therapies, we are mandated by NHS England to check that our patients are adhering to an asthma treatment plan. We do this by initially looking at their primary care prescription refills. We look at also the number of courses of oral corticosteroids they may have received over the previous 12 months, as well as looking at their SABA usage. So one element of the AAC project is that we have been pre-screening patients for adherence pre-referral. This involves us checking with primary care prescription records and identifying any patients that don't seem to be receiving regular prescriptions for their asthma medications. If this is identified, either myself or our severe asthma pharmacy technician will then telephone the patient to discuss any reasons for this and provide some adherence interventions over the telephone. This has also allowed us to conduct the adherence check pre-referral and will saves us time once we do actually see the patient in clinic.
For Marjorie, the difference new treatment has made to her life in only a few months is significant, and a far cry from how life was a year ago.
When I come out of hospital, this referred me for this injection, and I got the first injection on the 19th of May, and then I take it every 4 weeks for the first couple of months, and then every 8 weeks. And since I've been on it, I've been absolutely fine. I've had no, touch wood, no chest infections, no asthma attacks. I've been, this is a fiddle, being able to get back to doing my normal things that I do, being able to go back to the gym. I've been fine since I've been on it. I think it's the best thing ever.
It's estimated there could be up to 1,400 patients in Liverpool who could benefit from this enhanced level of treatment. When all other avenues have been exhausted, an early referral by GPs to the service is said to be key. Here's Dr. Hassan Burhan.
I think the real benefit in this for the patients is to get referred to the service early. And I think that involves an index of suspicion in primary care. If people are on high doses of treatment for asthma, inhale corticosteroids and LABA at a high dose, and if they're having more than two exacerbations and they're also on a long-acting antimuscarinic, and they're taking their treatment correctly, they're adherent to it, they're picking up their inhalers, they've been shown how to use their inhalers and they're using them correctly, and they're still having flares, then they should be referred to a severe asthma service early because they can be worked up for a biologic. The other thing that I would say is, as part of the outreach work that we're doing, we're looking at a lot of data in primary care, and there's a lot of information from years ago in primary care that's incredibly useful to go along with the referral. So I think being aware of the fact that there are these treatment options and referring patients early and perhaps using a tool. So the Academic Health Science Network recommends the AstraZeneca Spectra tool, using a tool to find patients that are having three or more courses of steroids in a year and lots of blue inhalers in a year and are taking their inhaled corticosteroids and LABA combination regularly, finding those patients, filtering through them, ramping up treatment if it hasn't been ramped up, and referring them within a six-month period, I think is really important. I think there are potentially a lot of patients out there. So I think a mechanism of searching through primary care databases established in primary care, and then escalating treatment within guidelines, so going to high-dose inhaled corticosteroids, adding in long-acting antimuscarinics if people have had two or more exacerbations, making sure people can use their inhalers, making sure people are picking up their inhalers, pointing people to stop smoking services if they are smoking. All of these things should be done, but within a short period. And if things aren't better within that short period, it'd be great if they could be sent forward to the Severe Asthma Centre. And if we can just suggest some changes, see people once or twice and send them back, that's fine. But I think from within that population, we'll find people that we can really, hopefully, get an awful lot better with the treatments that are available to us. It's incredible, actually, just to see the difference we can make to some patients. There are more treatments coming out, and severe asthma as a specialist commission specialty has happened within my career as a consultant. And the more and more treatments that come, the more and more we need to reinvent the way we work. Because rather than having, I think when I started as a consultant, we had maybe a 20 or 30 people in our hospital that were on a biologic, and now the number's about 400. Because it is a specialist commission service, we are quite rightly monitored to make sure that we put people on the right treatment, and monitored to make sure that only people that continue taking the treatment and all their other inhalers stay on the treatment. So it's fantastic to be able to make that difference, and it's great to actually be able to work with primary and secondary care colleagues to identify people early and make sure people get on the treatment in good time.
No sneezing and nothing. My voice hadn't been croaky with it. Which was before now, it's just not being out of breath, being able to sleep fine, can't even hear my chest at all. It's just weird for me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Innovation Agency. If you'd like to learn more about the Liverpool Severe Asthma Service, there are contact details in the show notes.